This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we'll uncover stories, ideas, routines, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of good sex. We believe that through democratizing sexual wellness, we can shift cultural taboos and make way for authentic and limitless access to pleasure, joy, and connection to the body. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bedside Podcast. I am thrilled for this conversation that you're about to hear. And selfishly, this has been a topic I've been really eager to learn more about. So I contacted the cycle syncing goddess herself, Sam Doyle, who many of you may be familiar with on TikTok, to tell me everything we need to know about what cycle syncing is and how we should be going about it. And yes, while I know this conversation is predominantly for those who menstruate, I do want to say that I think there's something we can all learn from this really hyper-intuitive way of being. Sam shares with Bedside what the four phases of every menstrual cycle entails and gets extraordinarily granular about the foods, movement, creativity, and energy each phase calls for. We also cover what Sam's Catholic school days looked like, what inspired her to overhaul her health journey, and she spills so many tips for intuitive living. And for my fellow manifestors who are tuning in, this conversation is filled with so many universal gems for stepping into that next level you. There's a few things that I already am so excited to implement based off of this conversation with Sam, so I know you are gonna love it as well. With that said, if you love this episode, don't hesitate to leave a 5-star review. You can hit that 5 stars on Spotify, jump over to Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen, leave a review. A written review is always so amazing. And at best, share this with a friend that you think would benefit from hearing this episode. It is going to help so many people out and, of course, help the podcast get into as many ears as possible. And just as a quick moment of celebration, I just want to shout out all of you amazing, loyal, incredible listeners. I'm so grateful for you. The Spotify Wrapped came out yesterday, and it was absolutely shocking to me to see how resonant this podcast series is with all of you. And I am just, from the bottom of my heart, so happy to be here doing this. And if anything, it's just inspiring me more to keep going and to keep growing what we've already got. So anyways, with that said, let's get into this episode with Sam. I know you're gonna love it. Hi, Sam. I'm so happy to have you here today. Welcome, welcome to the Bedside Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am really amped about this particular episode because you talk a lot about the things that I myself have been really interested in kind of like touching into, learning more about. You talk so much about your menstrual cycle and cycle syncing, and we'll get into all the nitty gritty there, which is why I'm having you on and I'm so pumped. But, you know, before we get into all of these topics, I really would love to kind of like lay the scene for everybody, like how you got here, what, you know, growing up was like for you and your messaging around sex and sexuality. So tell me right off the bat, did you have sex ed?
Oh God. Well, I had as much sex ed as your classic Catholic schoolgirl would get. So I was raised in the Catholic Church, and no, it was really very much like, don't ask, don't tell, kind of figure it out on your own. And so that was a journey and a path and a struggle in itself. It was just like your classic thing that you would see in like a movie. That was my sex ed.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like so many people come on, they're like, yeah, no, it was very abysmal. Did you, because I know you talk so much about menstrual cycles, did you ever have any sort of communication around having your period? I know you even mentioned you went to Catholic school. So I'm like, I don't even know if they cover period care.
You know, I really don't remember any. And when I think back to when I got my period, I was in fifth grade. So that's so early. And I was at, like, I was like so excited for this day. I was at like my class pool party in fifth grade and I was just like amped. And then I started having these like terrible back pains. And I was like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? I don't feel good. And I went to the bathroom and I was bleeding and I was like, holy shit, what? And you know, luckily my mom, God bless her. I was basically raised mostly by my mom, spent the most time with her, and she was very much open and expressive with her body. And so I'm really grateful to have had that. And, you know, it wasn't like a shameful thing. She was like, okay, here we go. Like, here's what it means to have your period. Like, do you want brownies? Like, I remember that specifically. So that was really beautiful to be able to like have that bond with her, but I had no idea what that meant for me or what that was. And, you know, it was accepted, but it wasn't celebrated. And that's kind of like why I do the work that I do and why I'm so passionate about it, because I'm like, what if every single young menstruator was able to be celebrated and be let know that this is like a really exciting thing. And here's how you can take care of yourself. And here's what it means for your body. And here's what's happening. So that's what I'm really passionate about, is like switching the narrative around that, because it would have been so different for me if I would have had those tools.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, and also like fifth grade is young. I remember like there were some people in like our fifth grade class who had their periods, and it was kind of like, oh, whoa. You're like shaken out of childhood, if you will. You're like, oh, okay, this is a reality.
Yes. Yeah. And then we're told like, oh, you're a woman now. And you're like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
You're like, I'm 11. So
you're right.
I'm still like, I mean, I was such a like late bloomer, like even like mentally, like I was just like at 11 years old, I was like, I'm still like playing with fairies in my head. Like I am not
still
a woman
doing that now. So
as a sidebar, I like had this thought the other day, and I was like, I was thinking like, I've been going a lot back to like what was so magical for me in childhood. And I was like, oh my God, I used to build like little fairy houses. I was like, how fun would it be to like adult and do that? Like I'm really craving, this is like a side tangent, but I'm like, I'm really craving to like go back to like pieces of that part of myself that felt so magical, you know?
And we can build fairy gardens together.
Oh my God.
In LA.
Please, please, let's do it.
I am like the person to do that with. I would love that.
Great. Guys, catch me and Sam hanging out, just sharing our little fairy huts. So, okay. I love how you said once you were like the streamline of young high school party girl to wellness aficionado and spiritually inclined is a thing. And I was like, I resonated with that so much. So I kind of want to start there. So tell me about like what your kind of young party girl, like high school Sam was like.
Oh my God. That is a whole saga. Yeah. I mean, it really stems back to that growing up in the Catholic Church, right? Like I was kind of fed this thing of like, be a good girl. Like you have to do this, this, and this in order to, you know, be accepted and go to heaven. And that was really a big part of my upbringing and my schooling. So I feel like when I got to high school, I kind of started to question everything. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is like, I don't agree with this stuff. Like, what does this mean? And I just started to have, I've always had that sort of rebellious spirit, this like questioning everything. I've always been somebody who's really sensitive and who feels really deeply. So I think that a part of it was that rebellion. And then a part of, you know, the partying and the being wild and crazy was I felt so much and I wanted to be so loved and so liked that I was just like, I'll do anything like to be the life of the party. You know, that was like who I was. That is again, like why I do so much of what I do, because it's like, if I would have had that more solid role model and kind of guidance for who I could be with all the attributes that I had, it would be so different.
100%. Yeah. When I heard, I think you made a video about it. And when I saw that, it was like, this resonates so deeply. Like,
I was like, wow, I feel like I always say I feel like I like partied much younger and kind of got so much out of my system in a way. Like I just like needed to like unleash and be like, okay, I'm here. Like let's experiment, let's express. But you're so right, because like when I look back and I'm like, you were saying like on those younger versions of yourself, you're like, oh, like I would have really benefited from some of these tools a little bit sooner and like just had a bit more of like guidance around like our sexuality and our sexual expression and the way to just like take care and not feel like it's this shameful thing. And like kind of going back to the shame of it, especially even our menstrual cycles. I mean, like think of how many times you'd like put a tampon or something up your sleeve because you'd be embarrassed that someone would maybe even take a glance at the fact that like you were on your period. And it's just so weird the like behaviors we've established around something that's so natural and like you say, so magical. So, okay, paint me a picture because I'm really, really excited to like delve into this topic and really the magic of it. So what was Sam like before cycle syncing and romanticizing your life sort of way? Like what were you like before and kind of can you give us a little bit of a glimpse of what it's like now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I resonate with what you said so much about that kind of being so young and kind of getting it out of the way, because that's exactly what it was for me too. And it was really when I got to college age and I was like, I'm kind of over this. Like, this is just like, I've been abusing my body with everything under the sun for so long. And, you know, I feel like it's time for more in my life. And to kind of paint the picture of it, I got really sick like my freshman year of college. And, you know, most people wouldn't know that because I wasn't outwardly sick or in the hospital, but it was kind of like this mentally, spiritually, emotionally, just not doing well. I had been on every drug under the sun, Accutane, so many antibiotics, birth control from the time that I was 14, this constant sort of lack of connection with my body. I'd struggled with an eating disorder as well in high school. And yeah, I had just been really abusing myself in every single way. And it was this people pleaser thing of like, I have to fit into this certain mold. I have to be perfect. I have to be a certain way, fitting these certain standards that only really existed in my own mind. And partying so much and, you know, doing all this crazy stuff that it really just started to wear on me. And I had a breakdown and I was like, there has to be another way. There has to be more. Like, I can't do this to myself anymore. I feel so disconnected from this like sensitive, beautiful person that I know that I am and that I've touched before in my life that I always have been since I was a little kid. I knew that there was more. And that's when I really got into yoga and meditation. And that was really, really what expanded my world and kind of prompted this like more so thinking about my body and how it was like a temple and a vessel, right? And so I totally ditched that like partying, reckless lifestyle and just tuned into who I could be on a different level. And I think psychedelics definitely helped too. Like I had a few awakenings with that, maybe like unintentionally, but it was kind of like this broader perspective. And that felt like really my path. Like, okay, how can I heal myself? Because no one is helping me. Nobody is going to help me. I've been to every single doctor that you could ever imagine and nobody was fucking helping me. And I was so sick of it and I just wanted to feel better. And so I picked up a book and I think every single person who has a period should read this. And it is called Woman Code by Alyssa Beattie. And I know a lot of people have probably heard of that. It completely just shattered. I was like, what? Birth control might be affecting me negatively? Like I can actually have a normal cycle. I didn't know that my period was something, you know, I've always hated my period. I was happy to not have it. And that was really when I started this journey towards going off of birth control and going off of my spironolactone to help clear my skin and working on healing my gut. And I really went through this recalibration, And I would say it probably took about 2 years. I didn't have a period. It was like my body was resetting, but I was so dedicated to this life. I was like, can I heal myself? Like I want to see if this is going to work because I've struggled my whole life. And I started just to pay attention and notice how really sensitive I was in every single way. And when it started happening and I started to see the healing, I started to see that my skin cleared up. I got my period back and it was like totally natural to my own accord. I was just mind blown. I was blown away with so much gratitude. Like, holy shit, my body is fucking amazing. And I'm never going to mask it with, you know, things that it doesn't need anymore. I'm going to let it do its thing and I'm going to treat it with the respect that it deserves and love myself for the first time. That became my life and that is my life now. And what motivates me every single day is, how can I be a role model or put myself out there in order to share for that young girl, that young teen who was me, and needed somebody to help her and to say, like, I've been through that. Like, I've struggled. Like, I have struggled. It's not just like a, oh, listen to me. Like, it's always been perfect for me. Like, I struggled hardcore with, you know, feeling at home in my body and loving myself. And that's why it's such a passion, because it's like a full circle. It's really beautiful to be able to share that story and to look back on that, because it's something that I do, but I seldom like tell the whole story and kind of feel into that version of myself, which still lives in me. And so it's like a showing up for that version of yourself who needed you with who you are, with all the work that you've done every single day. That's who you do it for.
Oh my God, that is so well said. I'm so moved by that, because I think it's like, it's not necessarily about like closing the door to like an older version of you or a version of you that's maybe seen struggle in some capacity. It's like learning to be that like resourced present self that can go back and visit those moments, or, you know, see those memories and just like send love and just like, it's so cool. I mean, if we're going to go there, it's like, I really believe that like time isn't linear. Like, we are working on a very, very multidimensional timeline. So it brings me a lot of peace, even in like my own healing work too. And I'm sure you resonate with this as well. Like, being able to kind of like revisit former, future, past versions of myself and like give to that, you know, and nourish that. So I am obsessed with that story. I know so many people are going to find themselves in that. And the coolest part is like, it's addicting almost once you get to that version of you where you're like, oh my God, I've found that glimmer of myself again. And it's like that, I feel your contagion of wanting to like share that with as many people as possible. And it's really unfortunate that like so many young menstruators are like put on prescriptions at such a young age. That is the epidemic here.
Yes, for real. And without the education of like, this is what this might do to your body. This is how you might feel as a result. The amount of dermatologist chairs and gynecologist chairs that I've sat in, and it's like, oh, you're having that? Here you go. We'll just put a Band-Aid on it. We'll just slap it on. No real conversation about what this is going to do. Mind you, about even what's happening in your body when you're on your period. So it's like, when we're as adults, when we learn about this stuff, it's like, you almost feel cheated in a way. You're like, this is so insane that we're not told these things.
Yes, absolutely. I was actually just thinking in my head, it's unfortunate in this like age, and I actually think it's coming back in a weird way, where I feel like generations ago, we'd almost have like matriarch archetypes who in many indigenous cultures were there to guide women through these journeys. And through kind of Western medicine, though I'm not naying Western medicine, I just think like there's a balance. We've kind of of lost a bit of that lineage of like being able to share that. But what is so exciting is I feel like it's kind of coming back. It's always been there. There's always been the people who are talking about these things. But I think with platforms like TikTok, with podcasts, with just like larger digital footprints, what is so amazing is like, I really, really have so much hope for these next generations.
Yeah, that it's so beautiful to look at it in that way. I think that reminded me, the best comment that I've ever gotten on one of my TikTok videos was, thank you so much because you've changed the way I view my period, which will change the way I teach my daughter about her period, which will change the way she teaches her daughter. And you've just broke a generation of learning. And so like, I remember that every single day, like what a gift that we have such access to all this information. And it's like, on a soul level, that is so cool to bear witness to and be able to like be a part of that conversation globally amongst so many people who are awakening and looking at things in that way. It's such a gift.
Have you ever wondered what your therapist is thinking about during a session? Or have you wondered about their own love and sex life? I want to be the first to fill you in about a new podcast that I've been loving. It's called The Safe Word Podcast. And if you're like, this might ring a bell, we've actually had Casey Tanner, the co-host of this podcast, on Bedside already. You can go check out our episode together titled, Am I Queer Enough? On Safe Word, two sex therapists, Casey and Camille, answer listener-submitted questions about sex, relationships, and identity while sharing their own messy stories along the way. Not only do you get a peek into the inner lives of therapists, Safe Word is a reminder that we are all beginners when it comes to queer relationships. They cover topics such as new relationship energy, breakups, trauma, guilty pleasures, and relationship conflict. Find Safe Word, that's one word, wherever you find podcasts, including Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts. To have your questions read on Safe Word, go to the bio in at Safe Word Pod or at Queer Sex Therapy's Instagram page and submit a question. Safe Word is sex therapy unhinged. I really want to know more about cycle syncing, what it is. How you even, did you discover it through Alyssa Vitti's work? Or like how did you kind of get there? And then can you explain to listeners just from like a high level perspective what it is we're kind of talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I did. I discovered it through her. I discovered it through Christine Northrop, another amazing doctor. And kind of just like once I learned about it a little bit, I was like, what is this? And that's my personality. I'm like, I am all in, like, give me every single resource under the sun about this. Like, this is so cool. So I really just like became a student of all of these amazing women who have been on the forefront of this research and are like, you know, in the studies, in the labs doing this. Like it is so incredible that we have access to this. So I've just been a student of them and then kind of taking it in my own body and experimenting from there and like putting myself through the ringer in that way. So cycle syncing, just to kind of take a step back, cycle syncing is changing the way that you eat, move, socialize, and just in general, live your life based on your menstrual cycle. So we have four phases of our cycle. And this is so fucking cool because we are nature. We emulate nature. So think about the four seasons. It's the exact same thing with our cycle.
I love that.
It's the exact same thing. And I studied Ayurveda as well. And it works. And that's the science of life. It's an Indian science of life. And it's such a beautiful system. But it works. Everything has to do with the seasons and changing according to the seasons. So it's the same thing that happens in our bodies. Our hormones are constantly fluctuating. They're constantly changing. And it's creating this different balance of things going on in our bodies. So when we look at it from a cycle syncing lens, we can see the benefit of cycling the way that we eat based on what's happening hormonally, the way that we, you know, approach our work. Our brain chemistry is changing up to 20% every single month based on the way that our hormones are fluctuating. So why would we not change the way that we work, change the way that we socialize with people? Why would we not kind of biohack and optimize what we're doing? We're not meant to operate in the same way every single day, in the same way that men are. And like you said about like ancient cultures, we've known this really since the beginning of time, that women are cyclical beings, and there were red tents and there were places for us to go when we were bleeding, and to be with each other and to kind of like rest and restore. And then throughout time, throughout history, we've kind of fit into this circadian rhythm level of operating, this like 9 to 5, do the same thing every day, feel the same way every day. And it's leading to this epidemic of burnout and of this removal from our true nature, which is this beautiful flow of a being that is able to be different every single week, every single day of the month. And that's the way that I really love to look at it, like taking a step back and being like, where did this come from? And what are like the elements of this? And it's really, really cool. And I think that allows you to tap into the magic too, when you can kind of look at yourself as not separate from nature, but as a part of it and like flowing with it. And how can you support yourself instead of like being mean to yourself for not showing up the same way every day, or for not feeling the same every day? Because it's just, you're changing all the time.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure everyone listening is like, yes, we've all tried to operate within this more like masculine, testosterone driven, like circadian rhythm cycle. And you constantly feel like you're a failure because you're hitting a wall. Every time you're like, okay, I'm going to restart. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to get really on my calendar. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to be super productive. I'm going to get it done and like hit a wall burnout. Okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do it. It's like, how many times are we going to do that? And it ends up being frustrating, disappointing. And then you look back on yourself and you go, well, am I the problem? And that's where it gets really harmful, because you're like, okay, well, it must be me because the systems apparently work. So, you know, what's wrong with me that it's not? And I love what you're saying is like, well, maybe it's the system. And maybe we have a lot to learn from our ancestors.
It's so powerful. I can't even tell you the amount of times before I knew this stuff where I would go to a workout or something and I would be on my period. Fully bleeding, gushing blood. And I'm like in this hardcore cardio workout, like feeling like such a like lazy, like, ugh, like, come on, like push yourself and like, get it together. And I would like be so mean to myself in those ways. And it's like, that's actually harming you. That's doing more harm than it is good if you're pushing yourself during that time. And like, how simple is that little piece of knowledge, you know, if we could just like teach every young person that.
Okay. I love this so much. And I think like workouts is such a great example, because that's really where you're like, you hit home with the like toxic like output culture.
Yes.
So let's get into kind of like each of these phases, because I'm so excited to like understand kind of what the energies are of each phase that we go into. Let's break that down for everyone.
Absolutely. So the first phase, a lot of people say menstrual is the first phase. It's really interchangeable. I kind of like to look at it as like follicular as the first phase. It just makes more sense in my brain because I'm very visual. So I would say the first phase of your cycle is your follicular phase. And if you think about it in archetypes, right? Follicular is like you're coming out of winter. Okay. So menstrual is winter. Menstrual is like you're bleeding. It's inward. Now follicular is like spring, and you're like, ah! You're like a newborn baby, like sprouting from the earth. You're
fresh faced.
Yes. You're ready. You're like, I had just like been through hell, and now like, let's get it. How can I set myself up for success? Like, what do I want to achieve this month? Who do I want to be? And it's that feeling. That's the follicular archetype. It's like this free-spirited, creative, expanded person. And this is really the time where you were saying about like making schedules and doing all this stuff. This is the time to plan, to dream big, to brainstorm. This is like the beginning of it for you, where new life is emerging. And then we have ovulation. Ovulation is like summer. So if you think about it too, from an Ayurvedic standpoint and kind of like backing it up again, summer brings heat. It's more pitta. This is when you're like hot. You feel hot, literally. You're hot and bothered. You're the most horny. Like you're the most wet. This is like the time for you. Like be fully embodied. Be like your sexy self. Show it all. Like summer. You're just like in the summer, hot girl summer energy.
Yeah, it's hot girl summer. It's absolutely right. Hot girl summer.
That's ovulation every single time. And this is the time to really be embodied and to do all the things. Like this is when you have the most energy. And then we have luteal, which is fall. So luteal, you start to turn inward. And this is, you know, hormonally, you have a spike in progesterone and estrogen. So this is why a lot of times you feel more emotional during your period and you're not crazy. Like everybody has made you to think. This is just the time to kind of start thinking like, okay, how do I want to prepare for winter? Like, what do I need to do? Like, what tasks do I need to complete? How can I nourish myself? Like, how can I start to turn more inward physically, socially, emotionally, and start to kind of like look at the things that have already been going on. And then of course, menstrual. And that's like winter. That's really not the time to start anything new. This is the time to reflect and evaluate. Actually, the left and right hemispheres of your brain are in the most clear communication during menstrual. So it makes it the best time for us to really reflect and evaluate and to be able to see like what worked for me and what didn't that month. Like, how can I be better in every single category? Like, how was I a good friend? How was I a good lover? Like, how was I great at work? Like, how can I move forward? And it's this time to like go in your cave and then reassess.
How do we, because like, I feel like a lot of people might maybe dread their menstruation or like that time when maybe your hormones are fluctuating around and like you're experiencing PMS or maybe some moodiness. How do we begin to kind of like love every phase? Like what is the best way we can go about doing that?
That is such a good question because it is hard still, you know, you're like, oh, I just want to hang on to this, like
hot girl summer.
Like my friends and I joke like that we have scarcity in ovulation because we're like, no, I just want to feel hot and social and fun and lighthearted forever. Like, no, not the luteal dread, please.
It's like the Sunday scaries. Like you get them right before they come. You're like, oh my God, it's been so good.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that, you know, it's just, for me, it's about having rituals in each phase and kind of like these things that I get excited for in each phase where I can kind of shift it to like, oh, this is nice. And I know that it's not going to last. Like for me, I get excited for that, like nourishing energy in luteal. And even though it's harder emotionally, like I definitely go through it. Like I feel everything and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Like I have crises. I'm not this like perfect psycho-syncing goddess that like has it all under control, you know, like that's just how it is. Like that's how we're supposed to be. And that's our gift, you know, like how can you nurture yourself through that and kind of create these supportive things that feel really good and that you know are helping you. Like it makes me excited to be like, I'm so excited to plan my really nourishing, like complex carb meals in luteal and just know that like with every bite, I'm treating myself so kindly. And yeah, just having these things and really, really taking advantage of each phase.
I just love this analogy of seasons. Like I keep thinking too, as you know, winter comes and as we're approaching it, it can be kind of like a looming concept for many. And it's funny because there are like the rituals around just how we all behave with seasons that I feel like kind of make going through them actually really enjoyable. You know, like as we kind of came into fall, I kind of remember being like, it's soup season. Like, let's go. Like, it's like, I'm like, it's hiking season. Let's go. And you kind of forget like the joys and the wonders of each time. So I'm kind of comparing it to that, right? Where it's like when you create the rituals around it, it makes it something really enjoyable. And that's kind of like that magical component I feel like we're alluding to. And you talk about all the time in your work, which is so like exciting. Okay, tell me how you like operate in each phase. I'm curious to hear your suggestions around how we can be nourishing each phase.
So follicular, in terms of like, I'll speak in terms of nourishment and exercise, because I think that those are like really hot topics. Follicular is really the time where I like rev it up. I like,
and this is like the spring phase, right? For everybody.
Spring phase.
Yes.
So if you think about it in spring too, like you're starting to, you know, you're getting out of that winter slumber. Like, what do you have to do to like awaken yourself? So think like fresh, vibrant, light. That's really the time to focus on that sort of nourishment, like salads and fermented foods and like lighter grains and things like that. Like that feels really good in follicular, and kind of like getting your body moving. Like this is the time to jog and to do your, you know, cardio things to kind of like shake out the excess stagnation of your cycle and kind of that more stagnant energy that you'd been experiencing for the past 2 weeks plus, and like reinvigorating your body. And that really continues into ovulation. It's like I said, you're hot during ovulation. That's like physically, literally everything. Like, so you have to focus on more cooling foods. Things that are going to kind of like, so like, if you think about yourself as like fire, like you're on fire during this phase, like kind of think about how you can like soothe yourself also in this phase with like that water element. Think about like cooling foods, like coconuts, yogurts, dill. This is always when I have my carrot salad, like every single day of follicular and ovulation.
I feel like I'm thinking like cucumbers and watermelon and like just like really fresh, juicy fruits. Like it's just.
That's exactly it. That's anything that like makes you like quenches you, that's it.
Yeah.
And I love thinking about it like that too. And that's just it. Like it feels, and you're like, this is so delicious. Like I'm so excited to eat this during this time, you know? That's exactly it. And that's still like the revving it up. Like I have so much energy right now. Like how can I get this out? Like jumping around, doing like your cardio, your HIIT, like just like getting out your energy, you know? And then as you move into luteal, that's when you physically, you need 200 to 300 calories more a day. So I don't count calories. That's not my thing. But I just think about it in that way. I'm like, I need to eat more because my metabolism has been revved up and my body is burning through things faster because it's preparing to bleed. So you have to eat more. You have to nourish yourself. You think more like slow movements. This is not the time to like be revving up your cardio. And this is so interesting because every single luteal phase, you know how you start to like feel kind of like shitty?
Yeah.
Like I feel like gross and like bleh in my body.
Like you feel so snatched when you're ovulating. You're like, ooh, like I'm looking good. Like I'm feeling good. And then like you start luteal and you're like, oh damn, last week I was feeling really good.
Yes, exactly. And that would be the time where in the past we would be hard on ourselves for that. Like I got to work 10 times harder. Like got to go on a run. I have one friend who's like, Sam, I feel so shitty. Like I feel terrible. Like I'm going to go on a run. And I knew she was about to get her period. She does this every single month, like always. And I'm like, no, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to harm. You're going to do your body more harm than good if you do that. And kind of thinking about it like that, like just know that that is what's going on. So the tools that you have are this nourishment. You need more complex carbs, like brown rice, sweet potatoes, fall vibes, like soups, warming, grounding, nourishing things. more calories, more, you know, just like resting, slow movements, like heavy weights, slow movements, slow Pilates, yoga, all of that is great. And then menstrual, the nourishment really, really becomes just like what is replenishing to your body because all of your hormone levels drop. So I love like broths, bone broths, seafood is really good. Like I always get sushi during menstrual and that's like a joy, you know, I'm like, and it's fun to like have your partner know what phase you're in. So you're like, oh yeah, we can go like this restaurant would be really good for this cuisine is good for this. And this is when we can get this takeout, like whatever. But yeah, that movement is like, just as slow as possible. Like if you do cardio, if you do intense workouts during this phase, your body is going to go into fat storage mode. It's going to go into fight or flight. And it's going to be like, oh my God, we're not safe. We have to hold on. Like there's too much going on. So that was like really cool to know for me as somebody who comes from like a pushing myself mentality of like, oh wait, even if I wanted to push myself, it would be doing the opposite of good.
I was going to say like, what sort of movement does one do during this time? Minimal?
Stretch. I honestly just stretch. I completely give myself a break. I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything. I'm like, this just doesn't feel good. I'm going to like meditate extra long and like do some stretches and then I'll get back into it. And you know that you're going to get back into it because then it's always going to be spring again. And it's always going to be like it also builds this like self-trust and accountability. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And also there are things that happen when we're in menstrual where we're like, I have to go to this. Like,
yeah.
No, like my wedding might be like when I'm bleeding, you know, like who knows? Like, what if it was? But it's like, okay, that's okay too. How can I extract the gifts of each phase and be my most authentic self through that, you know, like through that lens of like, even if I'm bleeding, I know that during this time, I'm able to be more reflective. I'm like more psychic. I'm more intuitive during this time. Maybe I just listen to people more instead of being like the life of the dinner, you know, like it's like knowing how you are in each phase and then acting accordingly.
I need to tell you about my favorite intimacy card game that you absolutely need for your next date night, your next game night, or a cozy weekend in. It is winter after all, and this is the perfect time to get mindful and to get intimate, and that's why you need the Mindful Intimacy Card Deck by Wonderlust. I mean it when I say this card game does it all. The game contains two decks, each with 69 cards. Ha ha ha. The first deck is for warming up with romantic prompts that break the tension. The second deck digs deeper with spicier prompts that guide conversations around sex and new adventures in bed. I think a great idea too that Wonderlust is doing is you can also pick a card every day as almost a mantra that inspires conversations to build a deeper connection on a daily basis. It is truly such an incredible game, and I really mean it when I say I think it's one of the best games on the market right now for intimacy. Wonderlust is offering Bedside listeners a discount code and even exclusive bundles for this holiday season, so you can get one for you and for your bestie. Head to wanderlust.co and use the discount code bedside. That's wanderlust.co with the discount code bedside, BEDSIDE. All right, I'll see you in your shopping cart. I'm curious to know what sex and intimacy is like during each of the phases. I know some people are like really into having like period sex. I actually realized long ago, I was like, I am like, do not even touch me when I'm on my period. Like it is just like shop is closed. But some people are totally fine with it, you know, to each their own. But I'm curious if you have any tips or ways that you feel like intimacy really thrives in the different phases.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that is such a thing. And I think it's so cool too, like I said, about your partner to kind of like let them in on what phase you're in and like how you're feeling and how it translates romantically and sexually. It's really the same energy. Like follicular is like the time to like try new things, try things that are like out of your comfort zone. If there's something that you've been wanting to explore, like your mind is really open during this time in order to do that. And in terms of like dates and stuff like that too, it's the time to do exciting things that might lead to more intimacy and more like openness sexually, if that was like something that you were exploring. Ovulation, of course, is the time where you're fertile. So it's really the time where you can get pregnant. And it's really crazy that we can truly only get pregnant like 6 to 9 days out of the month. And of course, like you have to be your own advocate for these sorts of things. And I'm really careful of what I condone and what I say always, because that's everyone's own journey with, you know, contraception, how they choose to protect themselves based on their needs and what they want from their lives and, you know, risk factors, et cetera. I mean, I have a window, and since I've been tracking for a while, I can do this. I have a window where I'm like, okay, this is the only time I have to be careful. Any other time, like, let's go. Like, and I love that, because I feel like I lived in so much fear before. Like, it was always like, I didn't know. Even when I was like on my period, I was like freaked out about it. But that has given me such like a liberation now that I know, and now that I have that empowering information of like, all right, I have the tools and we're good.
Do you track your cycle? Do you use like an app and kind of base your methods off of that?
Yes. Yeah. So I really just intuitively know, and I journal about it. And I also have an app, but I hardly check it. It's just more of like an intuition based thing now, but I love the app Stardust. It's especially cool if you're like witchy and you also love astrology, because it
we're witchy here.
I knew it. But it also tells you like, if you're, I think it's like a white witch or like a red witch or something, like if you bleed on the new moon or the full moon, and it kind of like tells you. Yeah. So I'm obsessed with that. So I've been loving that app. And then there's a ton of free, really good ones that you can also get. So yeah, during ovulation is just like when you're horny and the most ready to go, in my experience. And then luteal is like, it is more of that like emotionally charged sexuality, like sex. Like I'm just like, I just want to be like loved and held, and like I want to like make love. I don't want to like do anything crazy
and like tender and sweet and like, yeah,
exactly. And it's just like, so yeah, it's sweet and it's like supportive. And I'm the same in menstrual. I'm like, no, this is an exclusive story, but my boyfriend and I, we got lit, like so drunk off. We were at this like natural wine bar, and I was just like going in like a few years ago, and we came home and I had my period, and I have a white couch. I have a white couch. We just did it all. And the next morning, the couch, it literally looked like a crime scene. And it was like the couch had its time. Like it was time to get rid of the couch, but it was like red handprints on the couch. And I was like, no, no.
It's so hysterical.
I know.
Like, you're like, okay, the couch had its time. We're sending it off, like truly, no pun intended, with a bang. See ya.
Yeah, that was like the way that I would like for the couch to go out. Like something that has to do with my period. That's just like very on brand.
Look, we've literally all been there, and like even just like lying a towel down, like it, like we all know the drill.
Yeah, the classic towel. Like, okay, we can fucking wait 3 days. Like, come on. Like, I won't be bleeding out of my vagina anymore. Like, let's give it a break.
I don't know if you use, I actually now exclusively use menstrual cups. They like changed the way that I have my period. I personally just have such a more enjoyable period. And like, I feel like I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but I feel like ever since I got a menstrual cup, I've like understood so much more about how my body works. I like know exactly how much I bleed. I know like literally like the inner workings of my vaginal canal because like my hand's up there putting in a Diva cup, which is like incredible. But honestly, if you are someone who's down to like get frisky while you're bleeding, like a Diva cup is great. It's like it's way up there. It's like catching everything that needs to be caught. And like you can still, especially like foreplay, that is a great tool. So just a little tip for anybody.
Yes, I'm obsessed with my menstrual cup. I love like seeing the color of my blood and like it feels so connected, like getting to like pour it out and see what's going on instead of just like creating more waste and then like who knows where my tampon is going. Like
I'm gonna float. Literally, yeah. Like it's just floating somewhere in an ocean. You're right. Like actually being able to like see your blood and like what is coming out is so great. It's also like a way to stay in touch with your health. Whatever personal care products you use are great. Like I'm not condoning anyone who uses like or condemning anyone who uses tampons or anything, but it's just, it's so nice to like, you know, I think before I'd just like put in a tampon, like take it out, like chuck it, like move on. But I think it's become this really like intimate process that I very much enjoy. You mentioned that you've been doing this practice. We're at the top of the month, or I'm actually not sure what part of the month, you'll have to tell me when you set a manifestation, like a monthly manifestation. And we're huge manifestors here. Tell us about your process, because I'm like, obviously that has to do with your cycle.
I'm obsessed with manifestation too. It's just like, it completely aligns and it's an amazing thing to do in follicular. And I am lucky enough to kind of have it synced up where I am in my follicular phase at the beginning of every month. So it's like amazing. And you can either do this at the beginning of the month if that just feels better for you, or when you're in your follicular phase. And what I do every single month is I create an archetype. So like, who do I, well, first of all, like taking it a step back, I'm like, okay, what do I want? Like, what do I want to achieve this month in the future? Like, what is like really feels like is something that I want to call in my vortex. And from there, I create an archetype. And that is like this version of myself that is able to achieve those things, because that's like the law of resonance, right? Like whatever vibration you are emitting, that same vibration can align with you. So if you think about like what vibration does what you want hold? And then who is a person that like matches this? And then that's when it can like resonate and collide with you. And when you believe that you can actually like be this person who gets it. So I'll create this archetype. And my friends and I do this. We have a group chat and it's so cool because like it was me who in co-creation with the universe, like kind of put this idea together. But my friends will text me now like, Sam, what's your archetype? And I like haven't even thought of mine yet. And like they'll like send me theirs. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Like, it's so great that this is stuck. So it's like you think of just like a phrase, like my archetype is like an embodied, artistic, aesthetically put together entrepreneur, like something like that, like just something fun. And it changes every single month. And then you list all of the attributes of that person. And then every single day you look at that list and you think, what do I need to do today in order to be this person? Do I need to actually get dressed and feel good in the morning? Take myself out, get a new book, like go to a coffee shop, socialize more, practice music. Like it's just these little things. And it's like a beautiful way to hold yourself accountable to becoming this person that can achieve what you want out of life. And it's been so great for me. I've loved it.
100% taking that and running with that as part of my like routine. Are you, so like, what's your archetype right now? Or what was like your most recent archetype you embodied?
My archetype this month is kind of what I just said. Like I'm holding myself to, you know, showing up for myself every day in what makes me feel really, really, really good in all areas of my life. So for me, like I work from home. So it's really easy for me sometimes to just like stay in my sweatpants and, you know, like kind of go through those motions. And my archetype this month is somebody who like really has her shit together. And that is expressed through her physical appearance, what she puts out into the world. My archetype is creating beauty both outside of myself and inside of myself. So what do I have to do in order to be that person, even when it's hard and I don't want to, you know? That's one of mine this month. And I honestly need to get clearer on my list this month. Like I'm behind. That was this month where my friend was like, Sammy, what's your archetype? And I was like, I didn't make it yet. I don't know.
I love that. I'm like thinking of how like beneficial that can be, because I think I kind of like subtly practice that in a much more like subconscious way. But I feel like once you label and list it, then you're able to kind of like really embody it.
And it also speaks to how we can change. We don't always want to have the same identity. So like that reminds me, one month I was like earth goddess, like earthly, like spiritually tapped in goddess. And it was like the same thing, like spending so much time in nature, not really, you know, caring about like outward appearance as much. I was just more like inward connected, just like being a hippie. And then the next month was like artistic baddie. And I was like, I'm going to get my nails done again. And I'm going to like go to coffee shops and be like so put together, go to thrift stores more. We're just meant to change like that. And it's like, what is inspiring you right now? And it doesn't have to like stick.
I feel like a lot of us get boxed in where it's like pick an identity and choose it and run with it. And like, I think it doesn't help with our way that like we many of us keep like digital footprints where it's like, oh, like pick an aesthetic. I even struggle with that too. Allowing myself space for the multi-dimensional version instead of feeling like, oh my God, like I have to like strategize how I'm going to show up. Like, no.
I struggle with that so much. I struggle with being fit into these boxes that last forever. Cause I'm like, I change every day. I change 4 times a month.
Don't hold me accountable. It's so hard. And like, we don't talk about it enough. And like, I love being in this like digital era, and I love having the ability and access to show up. But I mean, it can be hard to like find this version of you that feels authentic, gets like still fitting with like, I don't know, like an algorithm. Like it's like, there's so much at play.
So much. And we're not alone in that. Like, it's good to hear your reflection of that too, because I'm like, honestly, that's why TikTok has been liberating for me, because I'm like unhinged. I'm absolutely unhinged. And like Instagram feels more like, here's me and like in this little box, you know. And
wait, you made the best TikTok the other week where you were like, isn't Instagram just kind of, and like you put all these like eye emojis of like, and I was like, that is how I feel. Like, why is everyone just like,
it's literally like,
yeah.
Like, and I'm like, hello. And then TikTok, everyone's like, slay. Yes. Like, and I'm like, I love this so much more. Like, I love the validation.
I know. And it's nice. It's refreshing to be like, I have a similar mentality on TikTok. I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm just showing up as is. Like, it's, we're not overthinking it, and we're just going to make it and like put it out there. How do you stay, I wrote, how do you stay sane in the digital age? I think what I mean by that is like, how do you
I feel that.
I guess what you meant by this is like, sometimes, and I love being online, but sometimes I feel really spiritually disconnected when I'm online. Like, there are so many times I'm scrolling and I'm like, girl, stop, get outside. Cause like, that's, you know, I just got to find where I'm going to feel more alive and present. So like, what do you do to like maintain kind of a balance, if you will, around your digital world and your real world?
Well, that's something I really struggle with. Like, I really do. And I know all of the tools, I know all of the things, but I find myself a lot of times, like, I can't even pretend, you know, I have all the tools. I know all of the meditations. I know, you know, all of the mindfulness things, but it's still such a difficult balance sometimes, especially when, you know, I look at my social media consumption as like inspiration. And maybe you can relate to this. You're like, well, I'm working, you know, and you can like spin it like that. You're like, well, I'm getting inspiration. Like, I'm finding people. And that's like a little like trip that your mind can do, you know, to like validate an addictive behavior and like an addictive pattern. And I find myself doing that all the time. And what I really, really return to, and what I continue to return to every day, because I'm in no way perfect at this, is like treating myself like parenting myself. How can I be my inner child and also my inner parent, like my inner mom and my inner dad and my friend, you know, and kind of like look at myself from an outsider perspective, looking in and being like, hey, do you need to be doing that right now? Like, is that the most supportive and nourishing thing? And a lot of times it's like my inner child is like kicking and screaming like, no, I don't want to. And then the inner parent in me is like, okay, can we maybe compromise? How about you put on a podcast, or you put on a book, or you put on something enriching where you're still kind of getting this like digital dopamine hit, like you're learning something still, but you like hide your phone, literally hide your phone like you're a fucking kid. That's what I literally do to myself. I stuff my phone in like a couch cushion, and I connect it to my speaker, and I put a podcast or a book on, like Eckhart Tolle, like something where it's like so like slow, and it like forces me to like, and this sounds so silly, like a boomer would probably listen to this and be like, are you kidding? They'd be like, read a newspaper. Like, are you good?
I mean, it's what our generation is. This is the reality. And like, I relate to like, all of us have these inner children kicking and screaming. Like, yeah, like my inner child is throwing tantrums left and right.
Yeah. I'm like, I want my phone. And my inner parent's like, are you sure? Like, you've been like, your screen time is giving 8 hours. Like you gotta get off.
Like, this is an important conversation to have, because like everyone listening struggles with this. Like, this is just what our generation is. And this is where like all our, like most of our jobs are connected to screens in some way. So it's like, this is just the reality. So as we're wrapping up here, what is your current sexual wellness routine? Like, I know that we walked through a lot of kind of like the cycle syncing and how you operate off of your phases, but like I'm really curious to know some of like your rituals and your practices, like on the granular level. I know you mentioned that you journal. What else do you do?
So in terms of my sexual routine, it's been a really interesting journey for me lately. I decided that I wanted to get rid of like, as I like wanted to move into a slower energy, I decided that I was going to reconnect with like a slower sexual practice. And so I got rid of all of my high voltage vibrators and like literally put them away. I haven't used them in, I think it's been like 5 months now. And I've just dedicated myself to like reconnecting with the juiciness of my own body, my own practice, myself. And I light candles and I put on music and I literally romance myself. And I like move just so slow. And that has been so beautiful and beneficial in my life. And I've seen that translate in so many other areas of my life because of that. And so that's been like a really exciting thing for me to reconnect with my like sensitivity. Yeah. And it's that self-romance piece. It's like really, really powerful. Always buying myself flowers and lighting candles and like just moving slower.
A recent kind of revelation for me has been around like, I'm deserving of all that right now. Like, there's no like, I have to make a certain income level. I have to be at a certain like mental state or like whatever it is, like to be deserving of romanticizing my life. And I think there's something so beautiful to that. Like, you deserve that in every capacity, and you don't have to wait on anything. Like, you can give that to yourself now.
I was never taught that I could do that for myself ever. And it's always been like a looking outside. Yeah. Like for answers and for what's right and what to do and what to eat. And it's like, okay, it's all comes back to tuning in to like what's inside.
So beautiful. Okay. So as we're wrapping up here, I ask everybody this question, but what is currently hanging out on your bedside table?
Well, I always have a candle. Always. I always have flowers. That is like something that makes me so happy. And right now I have Women Who Run With Wolves. That's like one of my Bibles, amazing book. So I just read a little bit of that before bed. I love that. And I have very vivid dreams. So I'm very like serious about what I consume before bed too, because it usually like ends up being in my dreams.
This has just been such a treat talking to you. I know you have an ebook apparently. So can you share a little bit more about where we can basically like indulge more of your work?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my ebook is just a compilation of everything that has really helped me in connecting with my cycle, and kind of just this distilled resource, because there's so much information. There's so much, and it's like so overwhelming. So I really just made my ebook like quick suggestions, food lists for each phase of your cycle, different herbs that are supportive for each phase of your cycle, workout suggestions for each phase, the way that your hormones are operating, and the way that you can kind of express yourself creatively in each phase of your cycle. And it's a 27-page guide. You could save it on your phone, reference it. And it's just like a great way to tap in and to kind of have this like quick knowing as you start to connect with psychosyncing, and as you, you know, find yourself needing a reminder of what to eat, what you need to pick up at the grocery store, what to do. And it's just all in one place. So that's a really, I made it super affordable and just like an easy little resource that people could do. And then other than that, I share a lot on TikTok and am only going to continue with. And that's like really my passion, is just sharing and speaking, connecting with people, and kind of helping to share this wisdom that is just so transformational and incredible.
I will share all of your handles below and the link for you guys to go buy Sam's ebook if you're interested in like learning more and getting more of a resource. So this was just such a treat, Sam. Like, I am so happy we were connected. This has been such an informative conversation, honestly, even for me selfishly. So I'm just so happy. And honestly, you're welcome back anytime. Like, I'm already ready.
Oh my God, me too. This was such a gift. Thank you. We'll be playing with our fairies live.
Make some fairy houses. Amazing. All right. Bye, Sam. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. If you liked this episode and want to follow along with similar stories and interviews, be sure to check out our Instagram at The Bedside and thebedside.co online. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and of course, share with your friends. It's the best way you can support us and our good sex mission. Thank you for listening.